welcome to another Movie Banter.
Oh, welcome.
You're so excited.
Jen's going to slide up and manic grin.
Such a long time.
Episode 98, baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, you can feel the 100th coming around the corner. It's going to be a big disappointment.
Exactly. We're going to build it up and then do
big
nothing.
Anti-climax.
It's going to be something special.
But it's going to be one. It's going to be one where... It's going to be one where none of us are around, and so we'll have to put out some, like, you know, 5-minute, hey,
no,
sort of film thing.
We'll do a special.
Make an
effort. Make a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure we can find, we'll find
a
window.
I thought we could do sort of, you know, oh, we'll count down the 100 best films of, but we've done that already, haven't we?
Yeah, that's true. Also, 100 is quite a lot.
We can't do 100, but we could get...
we could, actually.
Can we just talk about our favourite, just pick a our favourite film each and just talk about that
That's true.
And then, you know, it's the best of.
Or maybe...
And you get people to send in their favourite film of all time, and we could just do a little...
Yeah.
Something like that, I don't know.
I could work. Yeah.
Get a party popper or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Get Demi Austin in.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
You can if you like. Get rid of for the 100th.
Will you allow us?
Yay!
We'll get in touch.
We can get rid of this old thing.
Yeah. I'll tweet it.
This old thing?
Yeah, you.
Oh! I was trying to get Jen to make an upset noise and she just looks shocked and appalled.
She's passed it on to me.
I'm learning.
Oh, yes. You're the oldest one of us.
I was sort of talking to you, Jen.
No.
Back at you.
No. I said, I said oldest, not fattest.
I see.
oh, you guys.
It's washing off like water off something's back. I know, I was trying to think of something insulting. I thought duck wasn't insulting enough, but I couldn't.
That's ironic, because only yesterday on Twitter there was a thing around of replace words in famous quotes with the word duck.
Yeah.
And you just replace the word duck with anything but the word duck.
Hey, kids. Down with the Twitter
rock
things.
And roll, yeah. You can tweet us at Movie Banter. Hey, there's a link. Email podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Yeah, with ideas for the 100, or your either what we should do, or your favourite film, or something.
Or
just a few words on your favourite film.
Or a greeting in an accent of your choosing.
It's very true.
I like that.
In your accent, you have to tell us what your accent is, and we're going to repeat
it. Can't they just say, please read this out in the Spanish accent?
Hold on there. We can do that. I like that.
Just give it a go.
Yeah. I can't do accents. If you want,
that's the fun point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was meant to be.
This could backfire horribly.
Speaking of accents and cultural invasion,
tenuous.
Kung Fu Panda 2.
Nice.
And we'll also talk about Bridesmaids and Larry Crown.
Yes.
And in tribute to Bridesmaids, film set in Wyoming.
Hey.
Why not?
Yay.
Because, we've cast you around. Turns out, quite a few good films set in Wyoming. It's big on your high-end film.
Everyone's got their favourites.
Oh, yes.
So think of yours now. And
if you can.
Send them in before the end of this podcast, and we won't read them out because this is recorded. Do you not know how podcasts work?
I don't understand.
Told you once, told you a thousand times. But yeah, Kung Fu Panda 2.
Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah, this was all right.
It was all right.
Bridesmaids.
Very short podcast.
Well, I'll tell you, shall I read out the user comment first of all, and then we can discuss it thereafter. Right. Pete Self says, Kung Fu Panda 2, good ending, but overall a bit average. Disgust.
Yeah, which I think is kind of fair enough. The ending, the ending's quite climactic. Anyway, I mean, it looks very good. My main thought is just that, because I saw this a little while ago now, and I've just mostly forgotten it. I can sort of conjure up thoughts of it now, and memories, but nothing really stuck in my head. It's like, wow, it's all brilliant. It's all quite watchable. It's sort of funny-ish at times, but it's slightly more kiddie-friendly than adult-friendly.
Well, yes.
Yeah. No, but...
It's a film about a kung fu panda.
Well, true. Yes, I'm not expecting 18 rated. No, whereas Up and your other Pixar films, you can relate, or even The Incredibles, you can say, no, there's adult themes and child themes. Yeah. And this is slightly more just your child themes, with less to relate to for your grown-ups.
There is, some rather touchy subjects of adoption, which I thought was actually dealt with incredibly tenderly.
Yeah, considering this is a panda whose father is a crane.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Which in the first film...
Not really. Which and that's why everyone's like, did you
I see. Yes. So then they. Okay.
But I think in the first, I can't remember if I've seen the first film or not. I think I have. It's not really addressed. They're sort of everyone are different animals, and it's just sort of. Right. I don't even think anyone raises a question over it. I could be wrong, but in this one, it is just sort of right. So he's your father, and you never thought this was weird, and so that sort of unfolds.
So it's all these anxiety issues that he has about his own parents and what happened to them.
Yeah,
and
he can't remember what happened to them.
So there's quite, I mean, on that level, there's actually quite a lot
going
on.
No, that's true, yeah, I mean, there's more, yeah, not, no, not that there's nothing going on. And it, from a child point of view, it's good, I mean, it does deal with themes. I mean, it's not purely superficial drivel. I mean, but it's, yeah, I just found it harder to get into it than some other animated films.
I thought that the animation style itself is pretty good. At times, obviously, show the history and the backstory and also dreams and things like that. It's some really beautiful work going
on.
Yeah,
there's some, because Gary Oldman plays an evil peacock.
Yes.
And does it quite well. But they're seeing his history, it sort of moves out of the 3D animated style of the rest of it and is more sort of 2D, almost looks like sort of paper cutouts.
It was, it's the shadow puppetry. Okay.
Yes.
But like so that's an interesting look.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine, and it quite enjoyed it, but relatively forgettable. Okay. Not necessarily a rush out and must see it.
It sounds like it does what it says in the tin. It's about
pretty much
kung fu from a panda. Yeah. You know?
But I think actually it's quite a good children's film. I would actually recommend it.
Yeah, I've heard it's funny.
I can't remember laughing to it. I don't remember not laughing. It just didn't make a huge impression on me.
Okay.
But that is not necessarily to damn it beyond redemption.
A fair addition
to
the Kung Fu
Panda
canon.
Yes. I would watch it again.
There are big canons in this, actually.
Yes,
there are,
really. That's true.
Yes. And yeah, very good voice work is good as well. I think Angelina Jolie is in it as a tiger, and Lucy Liu, and Jackie Chan, and others. Yeah. Jack Black is Jack Black, which is...
He does what he does.
Yeah, pretty much.
He gets on with it, let's face it.
No, it was alright.
I prefer Jack Black in these films than anything else, to be honest.
We had an email?
No, I was just reminded there, because we had a bell chiming the secret noise. And we had an email about that, so I found the email. Email from Supertoy, who said... this is nice and technical. At about 26 minutes 18, I presume you mean.
This is about 26:18. It sounds like exactly 26.
Round about. Could be 25, could be 30. In Bantercast 93, John is talking about Sucker Pinch.
Pinch?
Sucker Punch, I think.
A
probably.
Sequel,
Not quite as threatening.
You've got to watch them both on the first day of every month. Sucker Pinch, and it doesn't matter.
Sucker Pinch, but no.
He's talking about it when a chime comes from the PC. Paul then remarks, good job, you said the secret word. This got me thinking, what the Bantercast needs is more stupid sound effects. Old-time car horns, sirens, laugh tracks, that boggy spring sound, and of course, a Willem scream.
I can't remember exactly how it goes.
Oh, yeah, it's more like a...
It's so more sort of...
Something like that, isn't it? Yeah. So there you go, we need some more sound effects, apparently.
Well, we've just done them all.
There we done. There you go, done. Job done. And in addition to the collaboration movie, we're doing a collaboration movie, weren't we? Ages ago, about 10 to 12 episodes ago.
But no one emailed in with
Well, he finally has. Supertoy says it needs to have a Mick Jagger lookalike who's always hitting on the female lead.
Fair enough.
Doesn't explain why, but
why not? Well, no, you need an explanation. It just needs to happen.
As long as it's in there, it's in there. So there you go. It's in there. So thank you, Supertoy.
Thank you very much.
Done. I'm looking around the room now. I think we've got any sound effecty things. I don't think we have. We should get some
claxons.
We can smash up your laptop. And things.
We'll do that.
Yeah, a stapler.
Paul could eat.
It's broken.
Paul could crunch one of his 40,000 packets of polos he's got.
Oh, go on, do it.
Anyone a polo? I should have offered earlier, to be honest.
I think while recording, it wouldn't be.
That's right.
Yeah, so Kung Fu Panda 2 is. Yeah, that's fine. Bridesmaids, however, I'm far more, I'm far bigger fan of. Stuck with me far more. Yes.
Good.
And this is, it's being pitched as a female Hangover, which is, I think is true, but only if you, it's not as simple as just a Hangover with women. It is a female Hangover in that.
Not the same plot, it's funny, very much not. It's got women.
Yeah, I mean, if you gave a good female writer the job of saying, right, the Hangover, film loosely about weddings that appeals to men.
Yeah.
Make a female version, broadly speaking, I think you'd come out with this. Okay. But in a very good way. In that rather than just, hey, it's wacky stuff that happens, it's more the surrounding, everything surrounding the wedding that what goes on, and it's far more character-driven than blokes getting drunk and stupid.
Yes, yeah. It's obviously about this sort of a sisterhood project about almost real situations. There obviously are a few stereotypical characters in there, but something that I think that most... women can relate to one degree or another. For example, there's an uber beautiful, amazing rival And I suppose, obviously, that every girl's felt threatened in one way or another. But the fact that there's some brutally honest aspects talks about, for example, like whether that's sex or relationships or relationships with your parents and things like that, expectations that you may have. But then there's also the rather dirty side of girls with food poisoning, just having to deal with that situation in pretty dresses. It's pretty appalling, but I'm almost going a bit too far, I might say.
Slightly, but it was still funny. But I think, I think it's produced by Judd Apatow, and apparently that was his input, essentially saying, put in a vomiting sequence.
Right.
Just to sort of keep the boyfriends happy. That's
slightly a paycheck from that, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Money.
Yes. But, I mean, it could be a lot worse than it is. And it does sort of break up the flow a bit. But, yeah, I mean, it largely centres on Kristen... I don't know if it's pronounced Kristen Wiig or Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig's character. Essentially having a nervous breakdown while her friend gets married, kind of. Because she gets asked to be the chief bridesmaid. And then... Or maid of honour, in American terms. Yeah. And then... It all while she's sort of struggling with personal stuff anyway, a sort of bad relationship or no relationship, and business gone under, and so trying to sort of help her friend out while keep her own life together, and it all ends up going horribly wrong.
The fact is that there's also another rather beautiful, wonderful woman who's has got her eye on the prize of being who's the organizer and
kind of the bride's new best friend. And Kristen Wiig is like the old best friend.
Oh, dear.
He's got all the money and everything to be able to do all the things that she can't do, which is actually, there's quite a nice little bit part of her original roommate, gets kicked out of by Matt Lucas.
Oh, yes.
And then someone who's cast
Matt Lucas?
As... Yes.
Yeah, which is
from
slightly...
Little Britain.
Yeah.
Yes, and then there's somebody who's cast as Matt Lucas's sister...
Yeah, who I didn't know, but if you had wanted to imagine Matt Lucas' sister, you'd pretty much end up with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's
lucky her.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's the most flattering portrayal of British people.
No.
Really?
No, not really.
But it was still quite
cosy. Are teeth
mentioned?
No, actually.
Oh, really?
No, not
very
at all.
Good restraint.
But yeah, it's just, and you do, and it's very nicely pitched, because the beautiful rival who... It would have been very easy to make her sort of a complete manipulative bitch, and she's not quite, or not really. She sort of slightly is, but she sort of genuinely feels that she would be better for it. So is sort of trying to do what she thinks is right, but not necessarily going about it the best way.
You can see that she's a bit of a weak-willed person who just wants to be loved and is terribly neglected by everyone else.
Trying
to buy a way in. Mm. And it's sad, and you can see why, but
that's why there's scales to it all. And Kristen Wiig, everything, she does some stuff wrong that causes problems, but then not everything, then some stuff just happens that isn't her fault, but it would be very easy to make it all, just have it broad strokes, and it's really not. There are proper levels to it all.
And is it funny? I mean, the broad thing.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah. It is genuinely extremely funny outside. Yeah. I was going to say outside. I mean, when the jokes are, that's when it's funny.
Yeah, but there's also a lovely, growing romantic storyline with a Irish police officer who is played.
I can't remember his name. He's in the It Crowd.
Yes.
Chris O'Dowd.
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
and
he's very good.
He is very likable. Mm. Very sweet, very likable. Mm. And yeah.
Although, well, the one point I will share is, I was speaking to our friend Liz yesterday, who went to see it, and said she did like it a lot, and it was very funny, but considering it could be quite a feminist film, I mean, it's very, men are entirely sidelined in this film, which is sort of the way it should be, except for Chris O'Dowd, and John Hamm, actually, who features as her sort of on-again, off-again semi-relationship, but not. It's a very female-focused film, in a good way.
Because you don't really get that many guys involved with bridesmaids.
No, exactly. I mean, any more, if they tried to get more men into it, it would have felt a bit crowbar. So it could have been quite a feminist film, and sort of, yes, women doing their own thing and making it all work. But the end result is a little bit slightly like, oh, now she's got a man, and now that makes life fine. Mm. Whereas it could have just been, she's sorting her own life out and doesn't need a man or that. And I don't.
I think that would have been more trite, to be honest. It's clearly somebody who is wanting to find a loving, happy relationship, and it just happens to be that she's not a lesbian, and there has to be a man. So,
no, true. But given that she's trying to get, given that she's trying to get her life together generally anyway, and sort of sort out her friendships and job and living arrangements, I don't 100% agree, but I can see that point.
Yeah.
That it could have come out as. She's got her life together and sorted it all out and things are fine.
Screw
she doesn't need it. No, not even screw you men, but She's got that all sorted out without a man in her life. If one comes along, fine. If one doesn't, then fine.
Well, yeah.
But it's a little bit like, you know, now she's got a man, now she's all right.
Well, yeah, but isn't it also, you could also argue that in terms of what, how people want to sort their life out, I think my life needs sorting out. Yeah. I need to sort out career, home life, relationship. All those are ticked, brilliant.
Yeah.
It goes, career, brilliant, tick. Relationship, you kind of, if you're heterosexual, you kind of need the man to tick that.
Yes.
Rather than saying, because of the man, I'm happy I've got
No, I know, yeah. I'm not saying I entirely agree, but I can see that point. It could have been a far more feminist film.
But, it was also
but then that may have put some people off.
This guy was trying to help her.
Yes.
With the professional side. It was, you know, she used to have a business that it fell through, and... You know, this guy is seeing the potential that she's unhappy and is wanting to help her fulfil her own goals. I think...
He's trying to encourage her. I mean, early on. I mean, this is an example of her getting in her own way, where he's trying to encourage her to sort stuff out. And not saying, I'll do it for you, or you must do this. But just saying, hey, why not try this thing? And she's like, no, stop trying to fix me, and storms off. And then people point out to her that she's being an idiot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's very good, very watchable. It's a film more than most others I've been trying to pitch to other people as a film they should go and see.
I've heard good things.
Definitely. I mean, I don't want to oversell it, but definitely worth watching. Yeah.
I think for other ladies, it's good to watch, and for people who aren't just ladies, then.
I'm not just a lady. Men.
Just a weekend.
I think it would be funny. I think mainly it's funny.
I think if you're. I mean, our friend Gav, he likes funny films. I'm trying to pitch it to him, but he seems to have been slightly put off by the trailer, which I don't think is as good as the finished film is.
No, which is good, obviously.
But also, I think he may come at it slightly more from, those chicks trying to be funny kind of film. So I think if you go in with an open mind...
Yeah.
I can say that because he doesn't listen, it's fine. But I think if you go in with an open mind, if you're slightly feeling put off by it, then you're probably just going to sit there begrudging it.
There's no difference between me seeing Hangover and enjoying that than anyone else coming to see this film.
Very true.
Good. Well, I should watch.
So watch.
Watch and enjoy.
Now, Larry Crown.
Larry Crown, yes.
Which I nearly went to see yesterday with Jen and then didn't.
No.
Because she pulled out on me at the last minute.
Well, you were right to.
Really?
No, it's okay.
I get the feeling that the reviews are worse. Well, because the trouble is I'm increasingly looking at Rotten Tomatoes, which is very good for sort of saying, you know, lots of critics think it's good, lots of critics think it's bad. But it can be slightly misleading, because I think that some critics, if it gets 2.5 out of 5, that means it's an average film.
It's okay,
really.
So rom-com would get that. You know.
But on Rotten Tomatoes, that would say, critics think it's awful.
Yeah.
And I feel this is one of those.
Well, basically, all you need to know is it stars Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's the kind of film that would start right.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the trailer gives that impression.
Yeah, I mean, the plot-wise, it's kind of Tom Hanks, he wrote and directed it as well.
Right. But with Nia Vardalos.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Who, My Big Fat and Greek Wedding.
Yeah, and has done nothing good since.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he clearly wanted to do a film. It looks like he's kind of, not phoning it in, because as a writer, director and a star, you spent years on it.
Yes.
But he hasn't, it's not a groundbreaking...
Ed Norton with, is it Keep the Faith?
Oh, yeah.
His first directorial, sort of a rom-com.
Unusual, isn't it? Yeah.
So presumably go for something easy-ish when you're...
Well, Tom Hanks, he's directed before That Thing You Do. Yeah. That was the last one he did.
Yeah, like that was 19
years ago.
So
an odd choice, but I mean, the plot is that he plays this guy who is sacked from his job, so he goes back to school finds that his teacher is Julia Roberts, and... But it's not just about the two of them kind of, will they, won't they?
Mm.
It's more actually about Tom Hanks in the process, kind of befriends another girl in the class and becomes part of this moped gang. And Tom Hanks is obviously a lot older than everyone else there, but it's kind of him getting in with that gang and stuff. And,
right.
And it's a comedy throughout, himself. But it's not a raucous, it's not a Hangover-style comedy, there's no vomit.
So it's a very gentle comedy.
Yeah.
Right.
But there is this idea that, I mean, the trouble is you can tell that Tom Hanks wrote and directed and starred in it, because it's kind of a midlife crisis movie.
Right.
So he's thinking, I'm going to go back to school and ride motorbikes. And the gang in it is just... They're a positive gang. They just go...
They're not Hell's Angels.
No, the leader of the gang is a nice guy. He looks like he could be a bit rough, potentially. He looks like he can handle himself. He's got, weather leathers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But they just go around to car boot sales and thrift stores on their mopeds and then go for breakfast somewhere.
Right.
And There's never any trouble. It's just kind of a fun thing to do. Lots of shots of them on the main road with their moped.
Is there any conflict in the film at all?
Everyone's very happy, generally.
So just nice things happen to nice people,
yeah,
and then you go
much.
Home.
He studies and he befriends the school teacher, and that's kind of it. It's very pedestrian.
Yeah.
It's a nothing film.
It's so too pedestrian.
But
yeah.
You're watching it going, oh, Tom Hanks is nice, isn't he? I like Tom Hanks. He's good in anything, isn't he?
Yeah.
And equally, you go, oh, Julia Roberts, she's got a lovely smile, and nice legs. And apart from that, you're just going, you just watch the two of them,
yeah.
And you go, well, they're clearly good friends. They've had a ball making it.
Mm.
We're having an okay time watching it just because we're in their company. But apart from that, there's nothing to lend itself, really.
Bland, but pleasant.
It's okay. It's just them doing what they do, really.
It's an interesting starter, or it's a tolerable starter before leaving you wanting with some.
I think both those actors would have to go out of their way to do something that would make you not like watching them on the screen, if that makes sense. So I think
neither of them have got a Mel Gibson future.
No, I don't think so. I think you never go.
It's just a matter of time before we find lots of Nazi memorabilia in Tom Hanks' basement.
Probably.
It will let slip about the dead hookers and it'll all
that
go
stuff. It'll all come out in the wash. But no, so it's just it is what it is.
I get the feeling it's the sort of film my parents will go and see and will think is lovely.
It's lovely. It's okay.
Yeah, and won't accept that it could have been more.
I went with my wife. We had a nice little time. We had a day out away from the baby, and we enjoyed it. It was very nice. It was lovely. It was inoffensive. Nothing to...
But you kind of wanted someone to get shot.
Well, there's just nothing else. You know, if it was different stars, it would be a different film.
Yeah.
And the ratings would be even lower than they probably already are on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so it hangs on them entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I possibly will go and see it, but I think you can wait. Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
Good.
Now, cool. Desert Island Flicks.
Desert Island Flicks for this week, then. Film set in Wyoming.
Why Wyoming?
Because of Bridesmaids, which is set in Wyoming, apparently.
Yeah.
Or features in it.
Go for it.
Because I'm looking at all the films that I know set at Wyoming, and I'm going to go for Bridesmaids.
Yay, what a surprise. But what about, you could have had...
Brokeback Mountain, which I still haven't seen. So you're saying Bridesmaids better than Brokeback Mountain?
I think I enjoyed Bridesmaids more than...
You could have had Meet the Deedles.
The what?
Meet the Deedles.
Meet the Deedles?
The what? Meet the Deedles. There's only so many times you can say Meet the Deedles.
Yeah, I know, I'm just... the words make no sense to me.
Is it a part of the Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents series?
I don't think so. Mr. and Mrs. Deedle.
Meet the Deedles.
Yeah.
No idea about that.
See, for me, it's a toss-up between Close Encounters or Unforgiven.
Unforgiven's that's a good film.
Well, that's a very good film, isn't it? Yeah.
That's a good film.
So I'm going to go Unforgiven, because I'm going first. So you snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
Unforgiven, yeah, tremendously good film. Clint Eastwood, playing up to his age, but still young enough that he can do stuff.
Good movie. Yeah. Good movie. Well, I'm thinking I could have the 1914 film The Virginian.
Right.
Or I could have the 1923 film The Virginian.
Right.
Or I could have the 1929 film The Virginian.
Ooh.
But I'm going to go for the 1946 film. No, I haven't seen any of them, so... Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Good movie.
1946 film, The Virgin Ian.
Poor Ian.
Yeah,
the 40-year-old Virgin Ian. There's your movie mashup for you. Luke said the new movie mashup, so we should use them at a future time.
Yeah.
I thought The Virginian set in Virginia, but it's clearly not. It was about a Virginian who's come to Wyoming,
I guess.
It's a
few times.
Perfect plot, exactly. Yeah. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
He's
moved there
times.
Many times over the years.
Exactly.
It clearly is, although it hasn't been remade for like 60 years.
The lot of it's just one of them.
Just
well.
One bloke. Yeah,
just one Virginian.
Maybe he's got a family of four, and each film is a different person in the family.
Or
is the polygamous Virginian.
So there's only one left.
Yeah. Anyway, on that bombshell,
we shall bid you farewell.
Bye.
Bye.